athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
I think very deeply.
In about 4 seconds, a teacher will begin to speak.
I think very deeply.
As always, thank you for joining me on another edition of the program. We've got a lot to get to today. As a matter of fact, if you're listening to this program the week of August the 12th, then we are, as a matter of fact, less than 2 weeks away from the start of the college football season. You know, depending upon when you're listening to this, if you're listening to this the week of August the 19th, I will be actually on vacation. And then football season, of course, starts on next week. So it depends upon when you're listening to this. But for those that are listening to us as we're doing this right now, the week of August the 12th, I tell you what, this may be the only show in America, okay, where you will hear from a Power Four head football coach and also hear from an HBCU football coach, or at the minimum, talk HBCU football, because I don't want to jinx it. We have, first of all, Shane Beamer, the head football coach at South Carolina, going to join us a little bit later on in the program. Look, I like what Shane Beamer is building there in Columbia, South Carolina. Yeah, they had a bit of a down season last year, but he lost, you know, those Gamecocks lost a couple of games. I mean, they were in pretty much every game. Lost to Georgia by 10 points, you know, lost to Florida by 2 points. Like, they were in a lot of those ball games. Won three of their last four ball games, did the Gamecocks, although lost the last game of the season. That game would have put them in contention for a bowl game. That said, I think this is going to be a bounce back season. Yes, the SEC is going to be a lot tougher, no doubt about it, with the additions of Texas and Oklahoma. That said, and the Gamecocks are picked to finish 13th out of 16 schools. So it's going to be an uphill battle, but I really believe, again, down season last year, first 2 years, pretty good. Not a lot of people are talking about South Carolina. And again, I think the finish on last year, and I believe also it being in pretty much every game and losing some games by a few points. Now, there's no award for losing by 2 points or losing to Georgia by 10 points. However, that is something to build upon and something that Coach Beamer and his staff can talk with a lot of these guys that were there last year about this year. He's got some guys that are coming back. Also, he's got a running back coming into the program that was a first-team All-SEC running back in Arkansas a couple of years ago. So Shane Beamer going to join us today here on the program. Look, I'm hoping we've got a request out to another coach, and we'll see. We'll see what happens, but at the minimum, we're going to talk some HBCU football. Look, I want to talk about some of the teams that may be a bit of a surprise this year. I've already told you, I think out of the SWAC, it's going to be Alabama State. I'm going to go out on a limb a little bit here and predict that Morgan State will win the MEAC this year. Now, it depends upon how Morgan gets started. Obviously, it's going to be a test to open the season on the road against Hampton. That game originally was supposed to be played as a classic in New Jersey, but now moves to the campus of Hampton University. As a matter of fact, I plan to be at that football game as well. But I believe that Morgan's defense. Look, you got a guy like Eric Hunter that's coming back, one of the best linebackers in the country, a preseason HBCU All-American, a preseason FCS All-American. You know, Damon Wilson in his third season now as the head coach at Morgan State. You know the success he had at Bowie State, the quarterback situation. That quarterback kind of got thrown into the fire a little bit last year and did some nice things. Now, the running game isn't going to be as good this year. Well, I shouldn't say the running game isn't going to be as good this year, but when you lose, you know, a couple of backs as Morgan did, I mean, that's a tough, tough loss, but the cupboard's not totally bare. But that's my prediction, my upset pick, if you will, in terms of who I think is going to win the MEAC in 2024. I think it's going to be Morgan State. So we've got plenty of certainly HBCU football to talk about on today's program as well. You know, we've got to talk about the Olympics. Congratulations to the basketball teams, both men and women, who did both did tremendous jobs. That both played France, by the way. So there was a home crowd advantage for France. And look, I didn't have a chance to see as much of the men's game. That women's game was outstanding. The French women came to play. But I tell you what, the Americans held on and came out of that to extend their win streak. I think it's either 60 or 61 games, but another gold medal for the U.S. women's basketball team. And then, you know, I did actually watch towards the end of the game. I watched mostly the third and fourth quarters of the game against France, the men's game last Saturday. Let me tell you, you know, Steph Curry put on an unbelievable show. In the last couple of weeks, I talked a lot about what Kevin Durant has meant to Team USA and still meant. Matter of fact, Kevin Durant had some big shots also down the stretch because the look, France came to play. And you know, really you talk about the U.S. team kind of pulling away mainly because of the play of Steph Curry. Look, you don't have generally in these kinds of games where you have guys go off like that. Like, you know, again, as I mentioned, you had a situation where Kevin Durant, I think 3 years ago, really put that team on his back. And the Americans won that game. Won the medal, the gold medal. And remember, the Americans had lost, like, the first game. So, I mean, you know, you had to kind of keep it going and ultimately came out victorious. But Steph Curry hit 4 3-pointers in a row in a critical stretch in that basketball game in the fourth quarter. And he was absolutely spectacular. Finished the game with 24 points. That followed up a 31-point performance on Thursday that we talked about last week. LeBron James was named the MVP. He had 14 points in this ball game. As I mentioned, Kevin Durant was key as well with 15 points in the ball game. Wembanyama came to play. I mean, that's a good basketball team, and the Americans coming away. And look, as I've mentioned in weeks past, the world has caught up with USA basketball and in particular the NBA. You wouldn't even think about. I mean, again, talked about it last week. 92 was the dream team. You had one college player on that team, and that was Christian Laettner. Now you've got sort of these under 18, under 20 teams that play in the international competition. But the U.S. team on both the men's and the women's sides are made up of NBA players, and you can see why. Like, USA basketball doesn't even fool around with putting college players on the main team or the Olympic competing team, if you will, because it takes every one of those spots. What are there, 12 spots? It takes every one of those spots to go out and try to win a basketball game. And that's exactly what the Americans were able to do against France. So I think it may even be 10 spots. Is it like 10 or 12 spots, something like that? So it was a great Olympics. Following up on the Olympics, look, I really feel badly for gymnast Jordan Chiles, who's going through it. It was announced when she actually had finished fifth in her competition. I guess this has been a couple of weeks ago now. And then the Americans challenged, USA Gymnastics challenged something technical. I think it was a technical part of the performance. And she was awarded, given third place, which gave her the bronze. She was awarded the bronze. And now it is the whoever oversees that part of it comes back and says, no, we made a mistake. The Team USA did not get their challenge in within the allotted amount of time. You have like 60 seconds, and they say the Americans were 4 seconds over, even though Team USA on the gymnastics side says, hey, we have proof that we got it in 47 seconds. Look, this is I feel badly for Chiles, but at the end of the day, if you initially said and awarded someone that bronze medal or up them to third place, how can you now go back? You should have done your due diligence at that time, right? So I don't know if there's anything more that can be done. I mean, if I'm Chiles, I'm not giving the bronze medal back. You can't take that away from me. And because of the mistake that they made, they initially should have crossed their T's and dotted their I's to make sure that everything was on the up and up, and we wouldn't have to. It's like you make a decision, then you go back and reverse it. Not good. And I feel badly for Jordan Chiles, but we'll see if there's anything more that can be done. The Olympics was absolutely great. The after party was great. Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg in LA, Tom Cruise, the whole bit. This was a great Olympics. Still to come here on Box to Rope, I got to tell you a story about my visit to the White House on last week, plus South Carolina head football coach Shane Beamer. Still to come. The Greater Raleigh Sports Alliance is proud to support the 7th annual Box to Row Countdown to Kickoff, and we are excited to welcome head coaches from area colleges and universities to the capital city. We look forward to another fantastic season of HBCU football, filled with great games, rivalries, pageantry, and unforgettable fall Saturdays. The Greater Raleigh Sports Alliance works with local partners to grow the sporting event industry in our area. The GRSA has an extensive track record of securing and hosting successful tournaments and championships, resulting in significant economic impact for the region and an enhanced quality of life for our residents. In 2022, Raleigh was named Sports Travel Best Host City. To learn more, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Raleigh NC Sports. Best of luck to all area HBCU football programs this season.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware,
Blakeney met with a private equity firm. Okay. What he's proposing is a three-way revenue split between Howard University, the investor, and the men's basketball program. Like, I'm not mad at this particular proposal. Do I think it's something that would work? No, but I think where we are in college athletics, you have to think along these lines.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
BoxToRow.com
is the website for all of your HBCU sports needs.
From the game of the week feature to interviews
to the latest news in the world of HBCU sports, BoxToRow.com has you covered.
Ooh. Missed a week of From the Press Box to Press Row?
BoxToRow.com has all the archive shows. Don't forget to check out the All-American teams and weekly media coaches bowls.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
And BoxToRow.com, your HBCU sports leader.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to Box Row.
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
I be the one now. I can't explain it myself. I let my daddy Chuck Brown give you the rundown.
I was driving in my car one day. I saw a sexy lady walk my way. A banging body and a pretty face. So I whispered in her ear and said, I really love your style and your dress so fly, yo. I love to see your pretty face in my show.
Welcome back to Box to Row. Still to come here on the program, South Carolina head football coach Shane Beamer going to join us. So I've got to tell you about my visit to the White House last Thursday. And a couple of weeks ago, as I mentioned, I was at NABJ in Chicago. And so I checked my email and there's an email from the White House. And in that email said something to the effect, "Dear Mr. Ware, the president requests your presence at the acknowledgement of the Texas Rangers 2023 World Series celebration," right? And it has this invitation, sort of embedded in the email. So I'm like, wow, okay, that's pretty cool. But again, my focus is NABJ. My focus is Chicago, right? Like I talked with you about last week. Did all, panel discussions, meetings, networking, all of those kinds of things. And then look, like what I like to do when I go to a lot of different cities, and it doesn't matter the city, even if it's a town, right? I like to hit them streets, right? See what's going on, explore, that type of thing. So that's sort of my focus. Didn't give it a second thought. Right. Get back Monday, going back through emails. I've got some emails that I have to answer and catch up on and all of those kind of good things. And I come back across the invitation and I thought back to when I first got it. I'm like, man, that's actually pretty cool. Again, unsolicited. I mean, for all I know, right, this is some kind of something that somebody's sending me for all I know. I'm just saying, you could look at the email and tell that it was real, but for all I know, because it was unsolicited. I didn't ask, I didn't make a request or anything like that. It was totally unsolicited. So they want you to reply actually by that day, Monday, by 5 o'clock. So I replied. I said I would, but now I was just thinking because I'm like, man, I mean, this week I've got a bunch of stuff to get done. I've got to catch up on a bunch of stuff. I'm, trying to prepare for the upcoming college football season. We've got shows we've got to do, all of these different, the business that's got to be run, all of these different things. But I'm like, you know what? So, and then of course I say, okay, well, the quickest way to get anything done is to go ahead and fly. So I look at the flights. Astronomical amount of money. I mean, I could have done it, but I didn't want to pay what they were asking for. So I said, okay, I'm going to drive. And so I did and left about 7 a.m. or so, knowing I got to get out of Raleigh and keep going north. The further north you go at that time on Thursday, the better you were off in terms of rain and how it is the closer you get to DC once you pass King's Dominion. For those that know, I'm going up 95 north. I mean, a lot of times that traffic really starts to build at any point during the day, right? So make it up there, and I'm going to tell you, you go. I took an Uber down to the location, not exactly right at the White House, but it's a location that they give you as a drop off point So as the Uber, I'm sorry, rideshare. So as the rideshare pulls up, I'm looking at this semi-long line, and it's, you know, they want you to arrive between 3 and 3:45. I get there at 3:15. It's already a line to get in, and it's raining. And I'm like, oh, I don't have an umbrella. So I'm like, oh, man. So I go ahead, get out, and at that time, the line starts to move. So I'm like, okay, great. I won't get as wet. God, I didn't know tall guys. Matter of fact, had an umbrella. Came, shared it with me. It was great. I didn't get wet as I could have. And when you approach, there are two different, like at two different places, maybe even three. There is like a tent, so you can, you know, get out of the tent as they check your ID. So they check your driver's license at one point. You know, I guess you're on the list, right? Driver's license. You go on through. They check it at another point. You go on through. Then you go up to the Secret Service where the security is. You put your bag on and all your belongings, stuff out of your pocket, on the belt or whatever, and then they check you, and then you're clear at that point. You go in, and I'm telling you, you go in, it's like, and look, I grew up in, I the first 25 years of my life, I grew up in the DMV. I don't think, and it was a time, like they got all kinds of security and barricades and all that kind of stuff around the White House now, and rightfully so. But at one time you could go right down Pennsylvania Avenue and right past the White House. No, it was just a gate. Wasn't, you know, all of these barricades for blocks out and all that kind of stuff. So you go in, the first thing you see are pictures on the wall of the various presidents in certain, doing certain events specifically at the White House. And of course, before I went in, I had to take a picture in front of the White House, of course, right? You don't want, and look, I'm not trying to misstep. I don't want to do anything. It's the first time, right? Like, I've never been. So it was really cool in that respect. I think we were in the East Wing. There was the presidential library that you could go in. Matter of fact, I took pictures of this, and you can check out those pictures on my Instagram account, @WareDonald, WareDonal. And some video, and it was, you know, it was just like so cool. So then you go in up the steps into the main room where the people that were invited and some of the press would sit. So they had a main stage to the left. There were seats to the right. There were seats, and in the middle there were seats, but those may have been more reserved. And then in the back behind there was like a dais where there were photographers. So the photographers would be there and could get their shots and all of that. Well, come to find out, I mean, most of the people that were invited to this thing were like dignitaries, were like congressional people in Texas. So I met a couple of people from Austin, right? I met someone that was a representative out of Houston, and a representative out of, I don't know if it was Dallas, I can't remember. But anyway, like a couple, it was mostly like representatives and maybe special guests. I don't know. I'm not sure how I got on the list. I'm not complaining, but it was cool. The team, Texas Rangers, came out. They have a thing. Dun, 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 dun. The welcome now, the 2023 World Series champions, the Texas Rangers. And so all of them come out one by one, including, lastly, the manager, Bruce Bochy. Then, you know, another dun-dun-dun-dun, welcome the president of the United States, Mr. Joe Biden. And he comes out along with, I don't know if it was the GM or, I wasn't the owner of the Rangers, but I think it was like the GM. And so he comes out. And they come out together, actually. And so they come up on the stage. I mean, and I must have been, I don't know, 15 to 20 yards away from the president. You know, and I have, like I said, on my Facebook page and also on my Instagram page as well. So I've got these photos. And I mean, it was just like the coolest thing. The president spoke. The GM spoke. Bruce Bochy presented some gifts. There were a couple of jerseys, Rangers jerseys, and then some boots, I guess some Texas boots, to the president. And then President Biden leaves out. He takes a couple of pictures, selfies with people and all of that before he leaves. And then pretty much after that, I think, if I remember, pretty much after that, the team leaves out. And then that was it. It was over. I didn't, you know, it wasn't any type of press thing. It wasn't necessarily a press thing. That was the thing about it. Like, I was, you know, I wondered maybe I could have talked with some of the players or the manager. And by the way, actually, I got a chance to speak with Bruce Bochy very briefly. We were outside after the event, and they were waiting on their buses to pull up. So I'm not going to tell you where you enter, but you exit off. The exit is off of Pennsylvania Avenue, because right across the street is the White House gift shop, right off Pennsylvania Avenue. So they're waiting on the buses. I had a moment to just speak with him very, very briefly. It was just the cool, like, it was the coolest thing, right? That, you know, as I was talking with, and the gentleman's name is escaping me, but he was from Houston, but he may be some kind, I don't know if he's a staffer or something, but he's based now in Washington, D.C. And he had been not to this particular event, and I think he was invited to this event because he is in another realm of politics, yet he was from Texas. So he was invited, and he said the coolest thing about this, you know, we're probably in like the 1% of people that actually get to go to the White House, because the event he had gone, or events he had gone to before, had nothing to do with sports. And so he was sort of like a regular, if you will, to these kinds of things. So he was kind of showing me the ropes and talking to me and all this kind of stuff. I'm trying to tell y'all, this was crazy, unbelievable, something I had no idea. But the coolest thing to be able to be right there, you know, right 20 feet and in the same room with and it was packed in there too, on either side, maybe about somewhere between 150 to 200 people in this room. So I thought I'd share that with you. I thought it was the absolutely coolest thing. When I was like 8 years old, and of course, growing up in the DMV, I did get to visit the White House around Christmas time, but in that capacity. But I tell you what, you talk about blessed, and I mean, that particular invitation coming like that, boy, I tell you what, that was really, 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 really cool. Still to come here on Box to Row, we're going to talk some HBCU football. Up next here on the program, we're going to be joined by South Carolina head football coach Shane Beamer.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Here with Stephen Curry, your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson. And it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
Main event, Jey Uso joining us here. Could there be a possible return to the bloodline?
For me?
Yes. At some point.
I'm gone, D. Hey, I threw the deuces up before. I'll do it again, man.
Come on, main event. That's family, man. I mean, I'm not talking about now. I get it. But down the line, like, come on.
Hey, D, you see how they be treating me, man? Come on, man. That something. It be your own family sometimes be doing you wrong, Lou. I got to go, man. Hey, I'm doing all right by myself.
She's Simone Biles.
Actually really fun, like, to be honest. Had a lot of fun. We were like, oh, of course, like, we're in the best shape of our life. We're feeling confident about our body, and we hope that other young girls and women, like, feel that being strong is so beautiful.
The one and only Michael Strahan, and cannot have you on without talking about Texas Southern. Cannot. So how did you ultimately end up at Texas Southern?
Yeah, from Houston. Grew up in Germany. When I was a senior in high school, my dad said, I'm going to send you to stay with your uncle in Houston and get a football scholarship. So I went to Houston. I played at Westbury High School for 1 year. Texas Southern was probably the only school that saw me play, being right there in Houston and being a local boy. And Coach Walter Highsmith, I went over to see him, and he offered me a scholarship. It was perfect for me, man, to go to the HBCU, to go to Texas Southern. the size of the school, the education they gave me, not just in the classroom, but about life. I would have been swallowed up at another school. I wouldn't have felt as if I really could have made a difference or had a real purpose of being there. But at Texas Southern, I always felt like I could make a difference and I had a purpose.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Skylar Diggins of the WNBA. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. You know, just been able to work a lot on my body and my shape, and a lot of things that I feel like I needed to work on in the off season, was able to get that done, and you know, it's showing.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
I appreciate the love that I get, and I appreciate the sport of hip hop, and it's giving me back that same love in return. You know, for the amount of years that I've been doing it, I've always went into it with the same, you know, spirit of I make music for the people, I make it go for them, and I always make them a part of it. And I never separated myself and tried to be a star. I've always wanted to be one of the people that you can look to as somebody that was, you know, like your uncle, because of the way that I treat people. And I feel like my career is representative of that. That's why the longevity is there, that's why the love is there, and that's why I maintain the status of, you know, being relevant for so many years.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it just like that. You know, I was really focused, just really, you know, excited.
Demetrius Flannery, a.k.a. Lil Meech.
He sent in Atlanta, told me that he was going to move me from my hometown, Miami, to L.A., put me in acting classes, and I had to go 5 days a week, two times a day. Only had about a year and a half, but once I started, I didn't want to stop, you know, so once in a lifetime opportunity, I didn't want to watch somebody else, you know, get the role of playing my father and me having to watch him on TV. Opportunity passed me by, so I just buckled down and just focused, man. Put everything to the side, made sure that my number one thing that I wanted to do was focus on being the best possible actor I can be for the show. And that's how it happened.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just, you know, trying to get better every single day. We've been through a lot as a team, and I enjoy playing with a great group of guys. So, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy every moment of it.
That is the voice of Common. You went to Florida A&M.
Oh, FAMU days were some of the best days of my life. I mean, I had so much fun there. It was, like, invigorating. It was an introduction to a new aspect of culture in the world. I mean, the Southern girls was just incredible. you know, the food was great. The black college experience, you can't beat that.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a, you know, big package for you to become a better player. But for me, it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car, and I was driving it in first 8 games, and, you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey, man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite three topics.
Hey, y'all, it is the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row. Tune in if you want to catch the best BEST interview ever.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's Box to Row, real, relevant radio. Let's continue here on Box to Row. We're joined by a gentleman, as a matter of fact, in his fourth season as the head football coach at South Carolina. Last year, the Gamecocks 5-7 opened the season on August the 31st at home hosting ODU. We are joined by Shane Beamer. Coach Beamer, welcome to Box to Row.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on with you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. The pleasure is ours. I want to start here. Camp. How is camp going to this point?
It's been great. You know, as we do this, today's an off day for us. We had our first scrimmage a couple days ago, and great opportunity today to get caught up on some learning and get ready for what will be a big week here coming up. And we're, I guess, 19 days away from the first game, but it's been really good. Knock on wood, we've been able to stay healthy. Love the way our guys are working. It's a carryover from everything this team has been about since January, the hard work that you got to have and fortitude. And our guys have shown that since January and have continued to show it here through preseason practice so far.
What are some of the takeaways from your scrimmage?
You know, we got one. We've got some mental toughness. It was hot out there the other day. We went out there at 12 noon and it was hot, and we were rolling. I mean, counting special teams plays, we got about 130 plays of football in a short period of time on Saturday, and we didn't have guys dropping out. We didn't have guys falling out because of heat and things like that or injuries. So I think we're very tough mentally and physically. So that was really good to see, to have that many plays and it's hot out. I think a weak-minded team would have a lot of penalties and false starts and things like that. We didn't have that. We were very clean and very efficient. Now, having said that, we got to execute better, and we didn't do a good enough job of that. But, you know, as the head coach, there's things that you're excited about with the offense that makes you disappointed with the defense. And there's some things that you're really fire you up about the defense. But on the other hand, as the head coach, there's concerns about the offense. And that's always in a scrimmage. But like I told our team, I told them at the beginning of preseason, I really like this group. I thought we had a chance to have a really good team. And after the scrimmage on Saturday, nothing has changed in my mind.
You know, I look at your first couple of years, a lot of success. Last year was tough. However, you ended the season winning three of your last four games. Obviously, you have to replace a guy like a Spencer Rattler, your quarterback, which we'll talk a little bit more about. But can you speak to last season and then maybe the momentum towards the end of the season that you can carry into 2024?
Yeah, disappointed, obviously, overall with the record from last season. Nobody came to South Carolina to be 5-7, and it was a disappointment. But you also, as you look back and you really analyze, okay, why did that happen and what contributed to us having that record at the end of the season? And you make the tweaks and adjustments that you need to. And as I did that, we did that. But then I also realized that, you know, it's a really thin line between winning and losing. And we were so close to the narrative being completely different and having a different record last season. But you woulda, coulda, shoulda all you want. We didn't. And at the end of the day, you know, the old saying, what your record says you are. We've got to be better. But it has given us motivation. One, it says a lot to me about the people in this program and our culture. We were sitting there at 2-6 at one point last season, and we won 3 out of 4. And didn't just win them. I mean, there were some tough games that we found a way to win in the fourth quarter. And if you don't have the right people in your program, you're not going to do that. And disappointed we weren't able to win the last one at the end of the season as well, to finish with 6 wins and get to a bowl game. But there's been a great hunger with our team, with one, the momentum, like you said, winning 3 out of 4, but even more so than that, just the hunger and the resilience that our team has to come back this season because of the way that, you know, last season left a bad taste in our mouths.
Shane Beamer, again, in his fourth season as the head football coach at South Carolina. He joins us here on Box to Row. Let me switch gears a little bit, Coach Beamer. Your thoughts, the SEC is so tough. By the way, you lost, I say only, and I know what you're saying, but a 10-point loss to Georgia, a 2-point loss to Florida. I mean, you had some really, really close games, as you mentioned. But the SEC and its toughness, now you add Texas, now you add Oklahoma to this conference. Your thoughts on the additions of these two teams, and then I also want to get your thoughts on the expansion of the college football playoff.
Yeah, it's a great statement about the SEC that you have two amazing programs like Oklahoma and Texas that could have gone anywhere, and they wanted to be a part of this league. One, like the SEC was the only one that wanted those two schools. This is already was already the toughest conference in America. It's even more so now. I love it. You know, competition is a core value of our program. And if you don't want to compete against the best players and coaches, then this is not the place for you. This isn't the conference for you. You look around the NFL draft each year. There's a reason that more players from the SEC have been selected than any other conference over the last 19 years, I think. You look at the college football playoff, there's a reason that the SEC is a staple in the college football playoff, what was a 4-team playoff. So I love it. You know, the best continue to get better, and that's what the SEC is. And we want to recruit players that want to compete against the best and be a part of this league. And then the playoff, I love the fact that it's expanding. I mean, I like the 4-team playoff. Don't get me wrong. It's been very good for our conference. But with the 12-team playoff, it gives more teams opportunities. And I love it. And you look at South Carolina's history over the last, you know, 10, 15 years, there's multiple years where South Carolina would have been in the 12-team playoff as well, because of the way that we finished. And you look at the SEC, there's multiple deserving teams year after year in the SEC. And now it gives more teams in this conference an opportunity to get in and show what we can do. So I love it.
You know, you did receive a first place vote. I know you were picked to finish 13th, but boy, I mean, tough. I see you guys coming, right? But you've received a first place vote in the media poll. I know you got to try to figure out how to, replace. I don't know if that's the correct word, but a Spencer Rattler, who's doing well, by the way, as you know, with the Saints right now. What's the quarterback situation? How's that battle coming along?
Yeah, it's been good. We obviously lose a great player, great person in Spencer. Excited for him and what he's doing in New Orleans. I've heard great things about him. I was texting with him on Friday and before his preseason game against Arizona, and I know he was really excited about the opportunity to get out there and play. And then as far as our situation goes, it's a brand new room. I mean, you look around our quarterback room, there's no one in our quarterback room that was here in our program last season. We have Lenora Sellers, Lenora Sellers was a freshman last season in there, but he redshirted last season as a quarterback. He's back. We named him the starter coming out of the spring, knowing that the competition is going to be ongoing going into the season, which is what it is right now. Lenoris has done a really good job, athletic, big, can run, can throw. Excited about his future. Robbie Ashford transferred in from Auburn. Love Robbie. Big, strong, athletic, can run, but also has experience starting SEC games. We brought in Davis Bevel, who transferred from the University of Oklahoma. He has started games at Oklahoma as well, so he has experience. And then we have a true freshman, Dante Reno, that we just signed in this year's recruiting class. So we're very inexperienced when it comes to playing football games at the University of South Carolina, but we do have experience in that room, having started power four games over the last few seasons at other schools.
Couple of more thoughts with Shane Beamer, the head football coach at South Carolina. We appreciate the time. 15 starters returning. Now, I get it. Rocket Sanders was he was injured. He transferred to you as a first-team All-SEC guy at Arkansas going back a couple of years ago. Speak to some of the personnel. Again, 15 starters returning. Sanders is back. Debo Williams was an All-SEC second-team guy at the linebacker position. And then Tonka Hemingway, also defensively on the defensive line. Just those three guys are very talented. But again, you've got some other guys that should be key for you this year as well.
No, we do. When I look at our roster, there's no question in my mind that we are deeper from a depth standpoint, better, and more athletic at every single position. Now, the one you could argue is obviously we lose a high draft pick or we lose an NFL draft pick in Spencer, but we have more depth in that room and we have talent. We'll be fine at the quarterback position, just inexperienced. And then we lost a first-round draft pick in Xavier Leggett, but if you look at the overall wide receiver room, there is more depth and competition from top to bottom than there was last season in that room. So I'm excited because I feel like we're better and more athletic at each position across the board. And we do bring back it's close to 30 players that have been a part of this program since 2021 that are still on our team. And that's a great statement to me about what this program's about. The players believe in this program, that they've been here not just 1 year with me. This will be 4 years with me as their head coach. So they're very invested into this program and what this program is about. And you add some of the talent, or you talk about the talent that we've added, there's no question about it. We've got all conference performers in my mind at all three levels of the defense. You know, you didn't even mention our two safeties, Nick Emanwori and DQ Smith. I think they're two of the best safeties in the SEC. And we're freshman All-American type guys a couple years ago. And on our offensive line, we bring back, you know, two guys that have started multiple games for us in Ja'Kai Moore and Vershawn Lee. And there's just a lot of, you know, a lot of experience and people that are invested into South Carolina football and are eager to get out there and compete here on August 31st.
Two last thoughts. Playing for Dad, right? The Virginia Tech, Frank Beamer, the legend, built Virginia Tech out of nothing. Big, a lot of success in the Big East, a lot of success in the ACC. Just what do you remember most about playing for Dad, the legend there at Virginia Tech?
Yeah, great question. It was a great experience. It was something when I was in high school, I was a good high school football player. I wasn't great. I wasn't getting recruited by a lot of big schools. There were some smaller schools that were recruiting me, some FCS schools and Division III schools. And for me, it came down to, I knew I wanted to coach. Do I want to try and play football at a higher level? And if I do, that meant that I was probably going to play for my dad, and thought a lot about it, because it's not easy when your dad is the head coach and you're playing for him. So I went back and forth on it and ended up making that decision. And then it was a great experience just being able to, one, learn from him, me being an aspiring coach, play for him and learn from him, the friendships I made, but then just being able to share so many awesome experiences with your dad and be able to catch up on moments that you maybe missed in high school, because he wasn't able to see all of my games in high school because he was traveling with his team and things like that as well. So great experience and a lot of awesome memories, and won a lot of football games, three conference championships we won when I was a player there, and very blessed for the 5 years I had at Virginia Tech playing.
We're talking with South Carolina head football coach Shane Beamer here on Box to Row. We've got more of the conversation with Coach Beamer after this small pause for the cause, and still to come, more college football talk here on Box to Row. So let me tell you what you do. You keep it locked.
The radio program that's talking sports from New York City to Cali and globally on the World Wide Web. From the Press Box to Press Row continues after this.
If you have diabetes, listen up. If you have insurance, you can qualify for a continuous glucose monitor. With a CGM, you can continuously track your levels and trends and spend more time in range, significantly lowering your A1C. More importantly, a CGM eliminates the one thing most people with diabetes hate: painful finger sticks. Order your new continuous glucose monitor today. If you use insulin and if you've seen your diabetes care provider within the last 6 months, you may qualify for your own CGM right now. We'll do all the insurance paperwork and deliver your new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost to you. Medicare and most insurances will cover your CGM, so don't wait. Have your insurance handy and call the Aptiva Medical CGM Health Hotline right now.
800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. 800-946-6813. That's 800-946-6813.
Track down the names making news in sports from the press box to press row. It's Donald Ware from the press box to press row.
Shane Beamer, the head football coach of South Carolina, joining us here on the program. In the last segment, we were talking with Coach Beamer about his father, Frank Beamer, the legendary coach at Virginia Tech. And then lastly, Coach Beamer, it took you 11 years to be on his staff, right? Like, did you want to kind of go at it on your own, so to speak? Because, you know, you spent, what, 4 years on his staff, and then ultimately has led to this job. And then what kind of advice does he give you these days also?
Yeah, no, it's a great point. That's exactly what I wanted to do. You know, nothing against any son of a coach that immediately goes and works for his dad. More power to him. That's great. I didn't. I didn't want anyone to ever say Shane is in coaching because his dad's the head coach at Virginia Tech, or the only reason that Shane got a break was because his dad's the head coach at Virginia Tech. Now, I'm not naive. I know my name has opened doors for me to get opportunities. But when you're a young coach, when you get that opportunity, you better take advantage of it. Or if you're not any good, it doesn't matter what your last name is. You're not going to be able to hang around. So that's exactly what I did. I didn't want to go work for him. I wanted to get out. I wanted to learn from other people. I'd been around my dad's program at that point for 22 years. I knew how he did things. I wanted to go learn from others and see how other programs do things. And when I did it, it was one of those, okay, I'll probably go GA or work for another program for 2, 3, 4 years, and then I'll just come back to Virginia Tech. And it was 11, like you said, and I was very blessed to be around some great places during that time. Georgia Tech, Tennessee, got an opportunity to work for Sylvester Croom at Mississippi State. And then Steve Spurrier hired me here at South Carolina. Wife was happy. We had kids. They were born here in Columbia. So it was one of those, the longer I was gone from Virginia Tech, I don't want to say the less of a desire I had to go back, but we had a pretty good thing going in other places as well and whatnot. So that's exactly, you know, what it was. Went back and spent 5 years with him before he retired. And I'm so thankful that I was able to have those 5 years with him before he retired and be able to be a part of the last 5 years, especially the last season he had as the coach at Virginia Tech, is something I'm so blessed and grateful to have been able to experience. And then advice, it's not so much football and X's and O's and stuff. It's more, you know, just understanding what this role entails. This chair that I sit in, it's a lonely position, you know, unless you've actually sat in the chair as the head coach or a leader of an organization, you maybe don't realize it. And he's been in that chair, so it's been good for him to kind of understand that. And for him, it's more, you know, after, he doesn't say much. Usually it's after a win, it's, hey, they played well, you guys played hard, keep them going. And usually after a loss, it's, you guys played hard, bounce back, and you know what to do. So this, it's not much, but it's very impactful what he does say.
Shane Beamer again in his fourth season as the head football coach at South Carolina. The Gamecocks opened the season at home on August 31st, hosting ODU. Coach Beamer, we really appreciate the time. Good luck to you and the Gamecocks.
You got it. Appreciate you having me on. Hope to do it again soon.
We definitely will, Coach Beamer. Thank you. Shane Beamer, the head football coach at South Carolina, joining us here on Box to Row. You know, I want to look at a couple of teams that I think can really, really make some noise that I don't think a lot of people are talking about. And one of those teams is Hampton. Now, I say that Hampton's got a new coach in Trent Boykin. He's an interim coach, or he's the interim coach. As a matter of fact, I thought it interesting that Hampton made a switch at the coaching position. I think it was like right after the spring game, which is late in the season. So you give the job to a guy who's had a head coaching position before. He was a head coach for 2 years at Lane, did not have a lot of success at Lane. But look, sometimes just because you don't have success at one institution doesn't mean that you won't have success at another institution. I think particularly at that time, Lane, it was, you know, after all those great seasons or the couple of great seasons when Jacoby Jones, rest in peace to Jacoby Jones when he was there, and then it just sort of bottomed out a little bit for Lane. That said, I think that Hampton has the opportunity to have a solid season. Now, certainly there's an uphill climb when it comes to Hampton, because now, you know, Hampton is in perhaps the best FCS conference in the country. So that's an uphill battle in of itself. You're talking about a team that finished 5-6 last year, 3-5 in conference play. And that, you know, I would say the CAA last year had a bit of a down season, if you could say that. Still had, what, 4 or 5 teams that made the playoffs, but generally you're talking about 6 or 7 teams that made that would make the playoffs. So there's a couple of dynamics here. Number one, you've got one of the best running backs coming back in Elijah Burris. Elijah Burris averaged in excess of 8 yards per carry on last year, averaged over 100 yards or right at 100 yards rushing per game. He's good. He's first team all CAA for the preseason. You've got quarterback Chris Zelis who's coming back. Now, if Zelis can cut back on the interceptions, last year 13 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, but I had a chance to see him play in person. He's really, really good. Can sling the football, also has the ability to run the football. He just needs to cut back on the interceptions. I think the running game is going to be good, obviously, behind Burris for the Hampton Pirates. I think one of the issues for Hampton is offensive line. The Pirates lost 5 offensive linemen that started at some point last year and only returned 1. So that's sort of the biggest thing I think that needs to be fixed, is that offensive line. Sometimes those offensive lines can gel well. Plus, you already had the spring game. Then you let Robert Prunty go, And now you have to kind of figure that out. But if the offensive line can be figured out, and I'm not saying that's easy because I think the we always talk about the quarterback position. We always talk about the running back position. But you got to have some guys that can block up front. The defensive side of the football does return some guys, but, you know, a guy like a Kwasim Townsend was really, really good. He had 107 tackles. Can't remember. He may have been a first-team All-CAA guy, but if not first-team, it was second-team. So that certainly is a big loss. Look, I look back to what happened with Townsend last year. Got out to the really, really good start, a 3-1 start, including victories over Richmond and Howard. Now, again, I mentioned the CAA was down a little bit last year, and I think one of those teams that was down was Richmond. However, that still, at that time, was a really, really good win. Then wins over A&T wasn't very good last year, and over Maine, both conference opponents, neither one of them very good last year. But I think it's something to build upon. With Trent Boykin coming in, there's at least some continuity there, and you're not having a whole new staff. As a matter of fact, a lot of the guys that were on the staff in 23 are still on the staff. So I think that's really a plus. The first two games, I think for the Pirates, going to be really, really key. Morgan State is now a home game. And then against Virginia Union, which Virginia Union's going to be very, very good this year. Jayden Byers comes back at the running back position. That's going to be a good team. That defense was lights out last year. But there is a difference. And again, we saw last year. And like I always say, generally speaking, when a team plays up, it's an uphill battle, mostly from a depth perspective, because you don't have as, you know, you may have guys that are somewhat comparable starters, not necessarily at every position, but at some positions, but it's depth, and it's how long the game prolongs and if guys get worn down. Now, we saw last year where Virginia State, who had a very, very good football team last year, did beat Norfolk State. And as a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, Union, seems like Union may have beaten Hampton a couple of years ago also. So that's a very dangerous game, okay? Just because Hampton is playing a Division II opponent, they're playing a very good Division II opponent, very well-coached Division II opponent, all right? That said, you win that game and you beat Morgan. Now you're off to that hot streak. Depending upon how this team is playing, perhaps Hampton can parlay that. But the issue is the next three games for the Pirates would be on the road at Norfolk State, another very winnable football game versus Howard in D.C. Again, not on Howard's campus, but in D.C. in that the Battle of the Real HU game, a very winnable game. And then William and Mary, I'm not sure how good William and Mary is going to be this year, but perennially a good football team. So Hampton has an opportunity to get off to a really, really good start. And then, of course, conference play comes along in the CAA, which is a very, very tough conference. But look, this is Hampton's third year in the CAA, so Hampton should be the players, some of the coaching from the Robert Prunty regime that are still there should be used to that competition and know what to expect. Hampton, one of the teams I have my eye on. Look, before I get out of here, I want to remind you about Box to Row Countdown to 20. It begins on August the 21st. It will be shown on the Box to Row YouTube channel. So what it is, we want to let people know about Box to Row, where we came from, where we're going, etc. And people have always asked, you should do something where you replay some of the interviews. So this is what we're going to do as we count down to 20 years on the air. We're going to do two conversations a week. It's going to begin again on August the 21st on the Box to Row YouTube page. My time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Shane Beamer, the head football coach at South Carolina for joining us today on the program. For more information, log on to our website, BoxToRow.com, and follow us on all social media. And always remember to support those that support Yo Box to Row is produced by DW Communications. Rickety, wow, give me the gag, Zooks, here I go, so Rickety flame on, Geronimo.